Ah, yes, the Masters going on right now. It was a delay this morning, but they are off and rolling. And DeChambeau having a good opening round. Woodland struggling. Coverage starting at 3 o'clock on the bigger TV. I mean, you can watch it online because the Masters is so pretentious, they actually don't want you to watch the tournament. You can't watch? Oh, too bad. Oh, at 3 o'clock, feel free to tune in at 3. Let's talk some football. You know what? The NFL wants you to watch everything, every day. Every day of the calendar, the NFL is on. They own it all. Daniel Harms does an awesome job of covering the Chiefs and prospects and the draft and all of those things. RGR Football, he joins us here in the zone. Daniel, what's up, man? How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on. And that whole intro minute was a rough go because the music got me all relaxed for the Masters, and then you talk about how you can't watch it, which is so frustrating because I went to turn it on this morning and I'm like, oh, yeah. I get live from the Masters. There's a bunch of guys talking about what we have guys teeing off. I can't believe it.
It's unbelievable. And in the background, you just see the patrons, by the way, not the fans. The patrons walking the course, and it's like, oh, I bet they're having fun there. I bet there are guys actually on the course, you know, walking around and actually playing a round of golf. They're telling us about it, you know, right now, but I guess I can go online and check it out. That's awesome. But you know what? If I'm online, I'm probably not watching the Masters. I'm probably doing a lot of other things, like getting ready for the damned NFL draft coming up in 2 weeks, Daniel. You're all over it, man. And so I'm just curious, as we start the conversation, this draft class, you agree that it's tackle wide receiver heavy, or is it tackle wide receiver top heavy and the depth may not be there? How do you sort of look at what has been a common theme of this draft is tackles and wide receivers are there?
So I really do think that it is top heavy in both areas. I think wide receivers far deeper, you're going to be able to find guys on day two, day three that contribute. Tackle, specifically left tackle, funny enough, where the Chiefs have kind of a need, is where it's really top heavy and the depth isn't there. There's some really good day two right tackles, guys that will play, like Roger Rosengarten out of Washington. I think Javon Foster out of Missouri is going to be probably a right tackle in the NFL. You've also got Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, who's a right tackle. But these guys are going to go on day two. They're going to be good players. But the Chiefs kind of have a need at left tackle unless they want to finally put into works what they asked Juwan Taylor to come do last year, which is put left tackle. But then they're like, no, let's go ahead and put you at right and figure out left tackle, or if Wanya Morris is ready. We still don't really know what they're going to do there. But there's going to be a ton of offensive linemen drafted in the first round itself. Like, I was doing mock drafts for RGR Football the other night on Sunday, and it was a good exercise because 10 offensive linemen went in the first round. 10 of them.
Is that all?
And I'm sitting, yeah, right.
A third of the draft is offensive line. Unbelievable.
I was sitting here, I'm like, okay, well, this is a very unique situation. The Chiefs might find themselves. No one's going to want them to trade up, typically. You might be able to find an NFC team where you're like, okay, maybe Seattle at 16, if they want to trade back and get some more prospects for maybe after Geno is no longer the quarterback, because they do feel kind of like a good team, but a middling team, because I love Geno, but everything else just kind of feels like maybe they're not ready to win yet. So if you can find a team like Seattle where they're like, yeah, we'll trade down, but we want to get some of these, you know, top 100 prospects, okay, maybe you can finagle that and use that future third that you got from Tennessee Titans to be able to make that happen. But it's going to be tough because there's not a lot of players in the first round. Again, if you sit there at 32 and you see this tackle run start, because the top 10 players, we're going to see quarterbacks, wide receivers. We are going to see, I think, at least one tackle, maybe more, a couple, one or two defensive players at most, I think, in the top 10. And then from 11 to 20, it is going to be tackle city. It's going to be a ton of tackles. I think they're going to go all the way into 25. Even, you know, there's a ton of teams that can do that. So, yes, there's going to be I only have 3 wide receivers with first-round grades, and those guys are all top 10 players. And that's where you're going to see, all right, well, how are we going to figure this out? Because it's really deep at wide receiver. There's really good options. There's all kinds of players you can get on day two. Also at 32, if you have like a second round grade on someone, you can take them there. So really deep at wide receiver. It's a really good offensive line group, but it is extremely top heavy and very lucrative for those first round players specifically, because I think all of them at some point are going to be starters soon, like legitimate players in the NFL contributing to teams. So it's tough to be at 32 and like, this is the year to get a tackle, and you're like, oh, maybe we're not going to find one.
Well, I mean, it's part of the reason that sort of colors my opinion on when people talk about, you know, should the Chiefs trade up? Can you trade up and get one of these stars? And most of the time, typically, I'm seeing people talk about trading up and getting one of these receivers. And I'm different in my opinion on that, that if the Chiefs trade up and use extra resources, I would love for them to trade up and get a tackle that they feel like a lot like Trent McDuffie. Like, this guy's got a first-round grade. He shouldn't be here at the spot in the 20s. Mm-hmm. This guy's got a first-round. We got a top 10 grade on this guy. He shouldn't be here at 16, like you mentioned, Seattle, or 17, 18, whatever it is. Or some of these NFC teams in the 20s that probably would have no issue mm-hmm. trading with the Chiefs, right? So, you know, that's what if I had my druthers and the Chiefs traded up and used extra resources, I would rather them figure out what has been a little bit of a revolving door the last few years at left tackle and get that figured out, and then know that you have Rashee Rice, and I want to talk to you about that here in a little bit, but suspension or not, you know he's a good player, and Hollywood Brown at least for a year. And in the second round, if you have to go, if you go wide receiver there, or, you know, third round or whatever it might be, I feel like you've got a better chance of finding somebody that can play the wide receiver spot. Because, Daniel, last time I checked, there are multiple wide receivers on the field. There's only one left tackle that actually is playing on the field at any given time. So I differ with those that want to trade up and get a wide receiver. I want them to trade up if they're going to do that and get a left tackle.
Yeah, I've come more close to that thinking myself. I was always like a wide receiver first round guy. And then, you know, I'm still thinking the Chiefs are one going to bring back Donovan Smith. He's just sitting there. He played for him last year. They're probably mm-hmm. going to bring him back. And there's also the idea that, well, maybe this year, like I said, Juwan Taylor, we're going to put you at left tackle this year. Like, if that actually happens, then we have, I guess, if we won't really know until the draft comes, right? If mm-hmm. They sit there at 32, if there's someone there, they can draft them. But if they go wide receiver in the first round, then maybe their idea is to move Juwan to left or have him and Wanya kind of battle for left tackle and then draft a right tackle on day two. Because, like I said, there are some players there yeah. that I think the Chiefs could not only trade up to get, but also stay at 64 and make work there for right tackle. So it really is – it's a tough situation. But if they were to trade up in the first round, I am – 100% with you as of right now to go get a left tackle, because after that first round, you're really fighting to find some of these players. There's some developmental guys. There really are. But this first round of tackles might be the best that we've seen ever. It's insanely talented. There's a lot of guys. I know some people think that Troy Sitano out of Washington, maybe just an inside guy. I'm telling you right now, I don't care he's 6'3". He's got 34-plus inch arms. Yeah. He's got excellent movement, footwork, the ability to anchor. Just needs some technical work with his hand usage and placement, and you're good to go. So I don't think he's going to fall. I know there's a lot of people out there that have him as a top 10, top 15 player in this draft, which I don't argue. I won't argue at all. So I just go get one of these difference makers at tackle, because next year you might be looking at the same situation if you – move Juwan Taylor to left tackle, it doesn't work out. If you bring back Donovan Smith, it's not working out. Wanya Morris, he's not figuring it out, and next year is not going to be the same class at all.
Well, let me ask you this. Daniel Harms is our guest, RGR Football. If you had your preference of how the Chiefs go about building their team and the draft resources and working the draft board, would you – let's say it takes like a first and a second. So it's 32 and 64 to move up to like 15 to get one of these tackles, Fashanu from Penn State or Latham, whatever your preference is, right? Whoever you like, Fuaga from Oregon State, somebody there in the top 15, you spend 32 and 64 to get him. But obviously you don't have a second-round pick. Or is it, you know, more palatable for you signing Donovan Smith, drafting, you know, Kingsley Suamatia, and maybe taking, like, a Malachi Corley in the second round, or Troy Franklin, or Ricky Pearsall? Again, depending on your flavor that you like from wide receiver, would you rather them go up and just get that left tackle that's a difference maker, a true first-round grade, or Suamataia as a guy that's sort of a project, but man, he's got some enticing parts about him that just sort of makes you think of what could be, while Donovan Smith is there as a placeholder for him?
Yeah, that's that's where I'm at. I just did my Kingsley Sulamitia film review on RJR Football. And nice. Like, I'm a big proponent of him. I think that there's a lot to work with. You guys didn't know he's cousins with Penei Sewell. Some pretty good NFL lineage there. A guy who's an all-pro. Yeah, he's right tackle, but he can play left and right. And that's another thing. He's versatile. He can play left. He played right 2 years ago for BYU. I think he can play all interior positions as well. You can teach him to snap, but you don't really need to do that. So he's got four position flexibility along the offensive line and the size. Like, he even looks built like Penei Sewell. They have these big stocky shoulders. Their backs are filled out, everything like that. He's got all the movement skills, and it really is more of a technical thing. And I don't have any issues personally drafting someone at 32 like Kingsley and letting him sit. I've got no problems doing that because we've seen Donovan Smith. We've seen Wanya Morris play, and the Chiefs just won a Super Bowl with that offensive line construction. So, and yes, I'm not saying don't improve upon those players. Mm-hmm. I think Kingsley would be the optimal person if you're going to sit at 32 or even trade up into the 25, 26 area if you can and get him. And it wouldn't be as much as that second round pick. And then you can come back and get a Javon Baker or someone like that, depending on how you're filling out the wide receiver room. So if I'm going up, I'm going way up, and I'm going to take next year's first round pick, and I'm going to go get an Olu Fashanu if he's falling down the board. Like, that's what I'm going to do because 32 and 32, you know, if I'm thinking about the Chiefs or 30, 31, 32 next year, isn't worth as much as it is to maybe a lot of other teams need that. And the Chiefs are picking here at 30, 31, 32 the last couple of years, and we've seen them have to reach at times. And if you just go get a guy right now in this draft and you say, well, he's going to be our cornerstone left tackle for decade plus, I'm all in on that.
Yeah, visiting with Daniel Harms, RJR Football, and I agree with that. I'm all in on that as well. The wide receivers, you mentioned you've got like, what, did you say three wide receivers with a first-round grade? And that would be, you know, Marvin Harrison, Jr., Neighbors, and Odunze. If the Chiefs are sitting at 32, let's say both 32 and 64, they're a player either or around there that you would like to see the Chiefs draft if you're sitting there. You had talked about, you know, you're leaning more towards, a wide receiver guy going up there in the Chiefs in the first round and getting a wide receiver. Are there names that you're looking at that fit that you want to see with the Chiefs, maybe in that first and second round range if they take a wide receiver in the first round or if they go get tackle and then they come back at 64 to come get wide receiver? Who are some of the guys you're looking at that you would like?
So if they're staying at 32, there's a couple names that I have in mind. I know that the big one everyone wants to talk about, and he does fit what they want. He would be like a replacement for Marquise Brown. Next year, I assume Marquise is going to use this year to get a big paycheck, and all well and fine by me. Just ball out while you're here, and then Xavier Worthy from Texas would come in and kind of replace exactly that with almost like the same kind of feel. He's a smaller guy. He's got legitimate speed, as everyone knows, and he tracks the ball maybe better than anybody in this class, in my opinion. Now, he's got some catching problems that are more in terms of concentration. He's got nothing to do, in my opinion, with technique. He attacks the ball with both hands, but he is looking to make a play after the catch, and that is where those concentration drops come in. We saw that with Rashee Rice last year. Those concentration drops, he had like 8 drops last year. But near the end of the season, when he got more comfortable, got more confident in his skill set, those drops kind of went away, and he became a very reliable pass catcher. Now, obviously, with Xavier Worthy, he's worried more about getting hit. He's a little bit smaller, and going to the NFL, I mean, you're gonna take some hits. And he does finish with contact and through contact. I did an Xavier Worthy film breakdown on RJR as well, where it shows a lot of times where if he's nearing the sideline, there was a third down play against Alabama where he's lined up in the backfield and he just kind of goes out on a swing route to the right hand side, and both Alabama safety and corner coming downhill to hit him, and instead of going out of bounds, he hits them and then he spins off and into space. So using the fact that these guys are going to come and try to, you know, hit him really hard, maybe not wrap up, he understood that and was able to lower his shoulder and get back into space and get more extra yards. So he's not afraid of contact, but obviously the smaller frame is a worry with injury and things like that. And then from the more of the opposite, the X position, I think Xavier Leggett is to Xavier's here.
Yeah, to Xavier.
While he's an enigma of sorts, not productive at all until last season, and that scares a lot of people. And you look at his route tree, and honestly, coming into the season last year, he wasn't even the number one receiver at South Carolina. The number one receiver went down, I believe, in week two, and he was like, all right, I'm ready. And he was absolutely ready. He was used as a true downfield weapon. He's got good ball skills, physical guy. Through his route, the stem with at the catch point, he's got an incredible strength in his hands, and that shows up multiple times. Just go flip on the Georgia game. You see him doing a whole bunch of stuff where it's manipulating corners a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's still learning the nuances of moving guys out of his way. If you're running an out route and you have a cornerback sitting on your left-hand shoulder, if you're lined up on the left-hand side, you want to move him to your right so you have more freeway to get out there on that out round, using that leverage, the ability to move guys with your speed, your quickness. And he's still learning the nuances of how to move guys around. But I think that specifically, well, you know, last year he led NCAA football in yards versus man coverage. So, I mean, that tells you that he's a pretty good physical guy. But if he's not going to, you know, get open with his speed, he will catch the football through contact. And I'm looking at Rashee Rice's kind of trajectory coming out of SMU. He was a big play, I'm going down the field, I'm going to moss guys. And then he was asked to be a zone beater and yards after catch guy in the NFL. They taught him how to read zones much better than he was doing at college. And that would be another area where Xavier Leggett could come in and learn, because he's, like I said, he's a good man coverage player. He's still learning some of those tools, and being able to sit down in the zone would be the next step in his evolutionary process. But physical, fast guy, I think he would fit as an X-type receiver if you want to keep Rashee Rice in that power slot role. And then the second round, second day three, there's guys like, you know, I love Ricky Pearsall out of Florida, and he's a two-year player in terms of 2 years ago when he played with Anthony Richardson at Florida, he was averaging 18 yards a catch. Like, this was a completely different skill set of what he was asked to do than this past year. And you look at the dynamics of their offense, they were like, well, we have Anthony Richardson, so go down the field and make a play. And he was like, yes, I'll do that. And this year, their offense was bad. Their offensive line was bad. Their offense, their quarterback was bad. And they said, hey, Ricky, we need you to get open. And that's all he did. He just consistently got open. And he is one of those route salesmen. I mean, I like to call them used car salesmen, where they'll just throw everything at the wall, make these corners move, guess, try to figure out where they're going, and eventually something sticks, and I love that about him. So he's in terms of first round to second round, people are talking about Ladd McConkey in the first round. I think he would be Ladd McConkey light, because you're going to get him on day two, not in the first round where you would have to take Ladd. Those guys are get open, move the chains, get some yards after catch if you can, but I wouldn't say that's their skill set. And then you brought up Malachi Corley. I'm lower on him. I would wait till the third round to take a guy.
Yeah. That's what I was sort of thinking, is like, if you feel like he's going to be gone early third round, then I don't know, second round, if you may have to do that on a Friday night. But if he's there in the third round, hell, I mean if he's there in third round, I'm jumping at the chance. At least I am. But you know, you were getting ready to talk about him. What do you think?
No, you're good. I think he kind of fills a lot of what Rashee Rice does, in the sense that he's a tough runner after catch, and he's kind of like Sky Moore. Sky Moore is a better route runner, in my opinion. There's a lot of times where I saw Malachi running right into zone, like right into the defense, not the zone itself, running right into a defender, kind of not understanding. But that comes with coming out of smaller schools. And we saw Sky Moore transition. It didn't really work out.
Yeah, right.
I just think that there are lots of the same player. Obviously, I think Malachi's more explosive after the catch. He'll make guys miss. He'll power through contact a bit better. But that skill set seems to overlap with what they already have in Rashee Rice and Sky Moore, in my opinion. I understand if you want to say, hey, Rashee, go play X this year. All right. Now we have – if we don't really like Sky Moore very much, we have new power slot in Malachi Corley. So that makes sense. I'm just trying to figure out what they want to do with Rashee Rice. You know, they want to keep him in that power slot, outside Z kind of role, where they can move him around a little bit. But I would like to see him play on the outside a little bit more. So those are just a couple of guys that come off the top of my head that I think that the Chiefs would be looking at. And again, if the idea is to move Rashee Rice back to the outside where he was in college and play more of that X role, then a guy like Malachi Corley makes a lot of sense. I liken Javon Baker out of UCF Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh. And I think that would be, okay, Rashee, you play the outside. Hey, Javon Baker, you come be Amon-Ra St. Brown for us. And that would help as well. So that's that's kind of my thought process here.
You mentioned Sky Moore, and we've kept you a while, so we'll let you go here in a second. But
oh, you're fine.
You mentioned Sky Moore. Is there a role for him? Because you know, last year at this time, it was like, you know, Sky's going to develop, and Kadarius Toney, and do they really need to go and get a wide receiver in the first round? And now it's like, you know, hey, you got Hollywood, you've got Rashee Rice, you got whoever they draft, you got Justin Watson. Sky Moore is on the team as well. Like, is there a role for Sky Moore on this team?
Well, barring a suspension to Rashee Rice, yeah, that would be what he would do and what he should do. You know, scheme him up, touches in space. That was the Sky Moore role coming out of college. Mm-hmm. It was. And then they drafted Rashee Rice, and they said, we have a more explosive player here. And they decided, well, we're going to go ahead and use them in that role. And they bumped Sky Moore to more of an outside X receiver. And as we all saw last year, that did not work out.
It's a great fit.
It was not his. It was not a great fit. Yeah, I mean, you know. But that's kind of what I envisioned for Sky coming out of Western Michigan. Get him the ball. Let him get into space. Use his ability to not only use his 10-inch hands, but also to power through contact. That he was not a guy that made a ton of people miss, but he finished plays like we saw Rashee Rice do. He was able to get up to speed and then use his stocky frame to finish contact and make, you know, force missed tackles through contact or make guys break arm tackles and things like that. So assuming, again, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have any real understanding of what's going on right now. Just if you guys follow Drew Davenport, you know, Bird Lawyer on Twitter, these guys have gone through the legal side of it. That's what you should be doing, because I'm nowhere near a legal expert. But
I'm with
I will
you.
Assume at this point that there is a suspension at least being discussed.
Yeah.
I think we can assume that much is safe. So let's just say a couple of games are missed, because I mean, what happened, and it was an extremely dangerous thing to do and illegal. So let's just assume that a suspension comes down. I think Sky Moore in that Rashee Rice role that we saw last year makes the most sense, where he could actually be a contributor to this team.
Daniel Harms, RGR Football. Daniel, I really appreciate the time, man. Really enjoyed this and love the information. Great stuff. Love following and watching the videos and the prospect breakdowns as well. And certainly look forward to a conversation here in the future as well. Thank you so much for the time today, man.
Always. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. I had a great time.
Absolutely. Daniel Harms, good stuff, man. RGR Football, really, really good. So if you don't follow him, what are you doing? Go check him out. And the videos as well that are there, and the draft pick and the prospect breakdowns that he's doing. And the three different names that he sort of brought there, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett, and Xavier, pick any last name you want to. That is weird. It's like Xavier Worthy and then another guy. I know it's the same first name, Xavier Leggett, and Professor X also is a guy that you can think of with the Chiefs. But he said Ricky Pearsall is a name, and that's what I love about, you know, the draft season and wide receivers maybe in particular, because there's so many different flavors, and it's kind of like, what do you like? What are you looking at? One of the things that I tend to gravitate towards is, how skilled is this guy as a route runner? How good is he as a route runner? Because I feel like that's a sort of earlier translatable skill as a route runner. And some of the best route runners you see coming to the NFL, and it's like, well, this guy's great. Man, he's a fantastic, polished route runner. Those guys, you know, oftentimes turn out to be, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, it was like, well, what can he do here? He's just sort of smaller there. But he might be the best route runner in the game. In all of the prospects, Amon-Ra St. Brown might be the best route runner. Okay, cool. Jordan Addison, his routes are, does he have the size? Does he have the true speed to break away? But boy, I mean, his ability to get open against college coverage, but the routes are just putting guys on skates. It's one of the things Ladd McConkey does.
Yes.
Ladd McConkey's lack of production scares the hell out of me from an offense that's really good. And he's had other people around him. But, you know, Ladd McConkey, you know, it never had a 1,000-yard season in college. The best season he's had is 700 yards. And out of all the games he's played, almost 40 games, he's got 12 total touchdowns in college. He's had some injury issues that have been there. But his highlights are really fun to watch because he's making some SEC cornerbacks look stupid.
I asked Ladd McConkey that specific question. I asked him, what do you say when
people... Name dropper?
Well, I brought up...
We do need to play some of that.
I brought up the whole conversation with him of, hey, what do you say to people who say your lack of production is nowhere near some of the other elite wide receivers in college football? And he goes, part of that was injury, but also a big part was how many other guys, they were the guy. At Georgia, how many other guys, he was listening to, you know, like Brock Bowers, they run the football, obviously, a ton at Georgia. The plethora of other talent at wide receiver, they just fed everyone. It wasn't just a case that they don't have one guy that they go to. Like, let's just say for, I mean, I guess Texas kind of had a few mouths to feed as well. Mm-hmm. But that's not the Georgia offense. That's not how Georgia operates. It was a spread out attack, so you're not going to have one guy put up an absurd amount of numbers. I'm with you, though. I go with route running. That, to me, is a big translator, although Sky Moore makes me a little nervous here.
Yeah, I know.
But I do think there's something to say. If they can do it at that level, if they can get open at that level, I will take that over some of the more, well, he ran a 4.2. Well, that's great. Yeah. Darius Heyward-Bey could run a 4.2. He's not out there making great plays.
Well, that's one of the things, and we'll take a break, but that's one of the things that I think people look at and just assume with the Xavier Worthy is, like, oh, he's really fast, but, yeah, he's really fast, but he's not John Ross. Yeah. Like, he's really fast, but he actually has a route tree. He actually, you know, kind of knows what he's doing as a wide receiver, not just a sprinter that they're trying to put some football pads on and say, hey, now go play football. No, he's pretty good. He's one of them. I mean, at Texas, if we're talking about the lack of production for Ladd McConkey, like, you're talking about, you know, Xavier Worthy that had almost 100 more receptions than Ladd McConkey in the same number of games. You're talking about Xavier Worthy that had, you know, almost 1,000 more yards, you know, than Ladd McConkey. You're talking about Xavier Worthy that had 12 more touchdowns than Ladd McConkey in the same number of games. So it's not like just a, well, he's just really fast. No, he's productive as a wide receiver, but some of it is injury. And I'm not saying I would take Xavier Worthy over Ladd McConkey because I really like Ladd McConkey, but I think Xavier Worthy can, to a degree, get a bad reputation because he's really fast, and people will look at, well, look at all these other guys that broke the 40 time. Look at all these other really fast guys. What did they do in the NFL? Well, I think he's better than the other really fast wide receivers we've seen come into the NFL. I think he's more polished. Is he the most polished? No. I mean, he's but he's not Malik Nabers, right? He's not Roma Dunze.
No.
But he's also not John Ross. He's not a guy that's just going to be, you know, Darius Heyward-Bey that's just going to run fast down the field, and that's what he brings to the table.
A little bit like Tyreek Hill. Had that knock against him for how many years? He's just fast. He's just fast. Mm-hmm. He's just faster than everyone else. No, he's also a great route runner. He can go up and get into all these other things, too. But that was actually a knock against Tyreek for a while.
Yeah. And Xavier Worthy tracks the football. I mean, you want to know about tracking the football? Look at your annoyance with Mecole Hardman when the ball's in the air and he's running after it. Okay, so you want to know about the skill of tracking the football? It matters, and he's really skilled at tracking the football. Seems like an obvious for a wide receiver, but it isn't always a wide receiver, especially when it's like, well, this guy can run deep. Yeah, but he can't track the football when he's open. Well, what do you mean? Exhibit A. Exhibit McCole. And he's fine. I mean, he's a Super Bowl hero. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Continue rolling. More so next. We got some Sports or Leisure coming up at 1 o'clock, presented by Johnny's Tavern. Got a little coaching carousel category today with the non-movement with the Kentucky job. But some of the movement that's been going on. So, got a category that includes coaches changing jobs. So, that's in Sports or Leisure coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. 913-912-4810. You know, we were talking about different preferences with wide receivers and sort of things we look at, things we like that, you know, can shape your sort of view and what the Chiefs should do, who they should bring in. And I think part of it has to do this go around, 2 weeks away from the draft, and the unknown with Rashee Rice. Because obviously, pretty big deal of what happened. Seen the video, talked about it, and the charges that were brought against Rashee Rice yesterday, 6 counts, collision involving injury, 1 count, collision involving serious bodily injury, 1 count, aggravated assault, same charges for the other driver, That other driver is a current member of the SMU football team. Rashee Rice is certainly going to have to pay monetarily. I think he's going to have to pay court-wise. And I think it's a safe assumption he'll have to pay suspension-wise with the NFL. I don't know how long that will be. My guess is it'll be 4 games. Less than that, I'd be pleasantly surprised. More than that, I'd be a little surprised, a little, you know, disappointing, but maybe the expectation should be, you know, prepare for 6 and be hopeful it's 4. But I'm counting on 4 games. We don't know what the schedule looks like. We'll find out in a month or so, you know, who they'll be playing in the first month of the season. My guess is still the first game of the season is the Texans. I think that is a real Detroit Lions feel to that Thursday night. The team that's coming on and exciting, and they made all these moves in the offseason, and it's a sneaky pick to maybe make some noise in the playoffs. And then you've got, obviously, the Chiefs and the team that they'll be chasing. But who do they play in those first 4 games? And maybe 6. So how does that change the strategy with the Chiefs? Because I don't want them to make a decision for 4 years based on 4 games. I don't want them to make a decision at wide receiver that affects the next 4 years based on, hey, you might not have Rashee Rice the first month of the season. They didn't know what they were going to have in Tyreek Hill. That was a huge unknown. That's why they took Mecole Hardman.
Sure.
Because you didn't know. You needed to have at least that fallback plan. Rashee Rice is going to be on the Chiefs. Knock on wood, assuming he is not, you know, dumb.
Sorry, dogs. I know everyone who's listening to dogs right now are very...
Knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you, Gruden. But, you know, I do think there might be an element of draft strategy changing to a degree. Okay, maybe now you look more intent on wide receiver in the second round, where you might have beforehand just be like, oh, let's just sort of play it by ear. Let's see how the draft board falls. I also wonder, do they change the type of prospect they go and get? Whereas if you've got Hollywood for a year, Rashee Rice still under contract for 3 years, and without whatever happened with Rashee Rice, do you take a chance on somebody that might have more higher ceiling, but is project is not a right word, but for lack of a better term, you've got some growing to do for that particular player. And with Hollywood and Rashee Rice and maybe a role for Sky Moore, Justin Watson, whoever, that guy can do some little things here or there and be more of the rookie wide receiver with Andy Reid as opposed to what Rashee Rice did last year. Or if there's a question about how long Rashee Rice is going to be out, do you take somebody that you feel like he may not have the higher ceiling, but we feel like he can be a good number 3 receiver in the NFL for a while? Not going to be a number 1, maybe grow into a number 2, but right now, hey, you can put him out there as a number 3 wide receiver and feel good about who is on the field for you.
And what's tough is even with Rashee Rice, we all look back at the season in totality and say, well, yeah, he finally had success under an Andy Reid system as a rookie. But those first 4 games, was he really on the field a ton?
Weren't great. He had a drop issue. You know, he was dropping the ball just as Kadarius Toney was. That got better.
Yeah.
And we saw the Chiefs use him in different ways, use him more in ways of like, okay, this is a skill set. This is what we get from him right now. And look at him blossom.
And I really like what you brought up as far as I don't want to sell 4 years for 4 games. And again, we all agree that wide receiver is going to be a position of need for Kansas City in the draft. So it's not like all of a sudden now they have to draft a wide receiver.
Oh, my God.
They were going to. So
he's going to be out 4 games. Now you got to trade up to the top 10 to get Mark. You got to come away with Rome Odunze. Rashee Rice might be out for 4 games. Get Rome. Do it now.
But my thought process was, do they need to get a more, as you mentioned, game one ready rookie wide receiver again versus the project? Do you need more of the George Karloftis or more of the FAU? Do you want to go with
Think either of them are going to play wide receiver, though, if you're wondering.
The style of do you want a guy in George, who again I think has more upside than people gave credit to because he was so young. He was learning football still, and for some reason they're like, no, that guy's a finished product. I'm like, what?
Yeah, he's young.
But the body type, right? Yeah. You know the limitations there versus FAU, who was going to be the project, who again probably is going to have to sit a year, redshirt a year, but the ceiling might be higher. Well, then the same thing might happen at wide receiver. Do they say, let's take Ladd McConkey versus, again, maybe it is Xavier Worthy. Maybe it is, I don't want to say A.D. Mitchell. Maybe it is...
Jalen Polk. I mean, it's second round, but you're talking about first round.
Yes, I think first round, because it's tough because second round, I think Xavier Leggett. Yeah.
Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson, guys that might be late first round, early second round, but sort of depends on, again, your flavor.
But but I think you're bringing up a very good point. You don't want to sell 4 years for four games. It's just tough because you don't like what you have with Sky Moore. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily love with Justin Watson. So you're sitting here going, who is wide receiver three or even two with Rashee Rice out those games? Is another veteran in the cards? Because even with Rashee, those first four games, it wasn't like he took the league by storm.
Right. It might be another veteran that they go out and get after the draft, depending on how the draft board goes. And, you know, with this draft this year, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of wide receivers, and there's some wide receivers that you can get to late day two or early day two. I mean, just day two picks, second or third rounders. Whereas if you're looking at somebody that's going to play left tackle for you, probably going to have to get that guy on Thursday. Probably not going to find that guy on Friday unless you trade back and it's early Friday. Then maybe you can do that. But odds are if you're going to get somebody that's going to be playing left tackle for you this year and you feel good about it, you're probably not taking him at 32 on Thursday. You're probably moving up and doing that. Where if you get somebody that you feel good about playing a wide receiver spot that can help out if Rashee Rice is gone for a few games and then actually be a good wide receiver for the next 4 years, you can get it in the second round. Because, again, Chiefs are going to have two, sometimes three, wide receivers out there at any given point. They're never going to have two left tackles out there on an offensive play where you're going to be passing the ball. Okay.
Wait a minute. Don't tell the Detroit Lions
this. I know.
This.
And yeah. Yes, unless you're doing some trick play where somebody's got to come in and you know, make sure they report as being eligible. But you only have one left tackle on the field. And if it's like, well, you got to get a stud wide receiver, that'd be great. That'd be great. But you also have Rashee Rice that's out there. You got some other guys that can play wide receiver. Right now, left tackle is open. And maybe it's Wanya Morris. Maybe it's Donovan Smith. But maybe it's also somebody they get in the first round that maybe shouldn't be there. We'll find out. We'll take a timeout. Come back. More Zone next. All right, wrapping up this hour, we got some Sports or Leisure coming up at 1 o'clock. 913-3810-810. Let's load them up. We got Johnny's Tavern on the line. $25 for Johnny's Tavern. Been at least 1 week since we played because we didn't play it last week. We were packed with the Final Four interviews.
Avery still won somehow. Don't know, but
we didn't even have it.
Didn't even have one, and he still got a card.
That's right. The Masters going on right now. A number of players out there on the course with the morning.
Useful vibes.
Oh, it's a lovely. Oh, just nestled right next to the cup. Lovely shot.
I'm David Faraday.
I'm Jason Anderson. And that's next on 2020. Nobody has ice cream anymore.